Husband's Podcast, baby. We are back, man. It's your boy SO.
Grease Balls, baby, CEO.
Shout out to Lax and shout out to Spence, man. They couldn't be with us right now on the road, man. Much blessings.
Yeah.
And Grease, what's up with you, man?
Oh, man, another week, man. Another week.
Heard that.
Another week. But you know, it's been good. Uh-huh. You know, we had a football game last night with my son, so we was in the trenches last night. We came up short, but
no fights this week, right?
Nah.
Okay, fights, cool.
Man. But you know, it's a lot of life lessons that you can get out of sports, man. And last night, I know I was able to talk to my son and let him know that everything in life is earned, man. You gotta earn everything in life, because sometimes I feel like, how we move as parents, sometimes like we'll give our children things without making them work for it. And that can be detrimental to the growth of them, because at time, you know, you expect things, you know, to be given to you. Like I show up and I should get something. And you know, that ain't.
What do you mean by that? Like you just give them things and you think they don't have an appreciation for the thing that they earn?
Well, nah, it's more or less like the things that they want, they gotta go work for.
Right.
So if he wants to, for example, my son wants to be a better quarterback, you got to go put the work in to do it.
True.
You know, you just can't wake up in the morning and say, hey, I'm going to be, you know, because I'm playing Madden, I'm doing this. Yeah, you're getting better on the video game, but in real life, reality, you're not getting better, you know.
At least you're getting better than Madden, man. I ain't played Madden in 13 years. I played last week, man. I've been getting broke off all week.
Yeah, he's been trying to get me on the game, man. I've been dodging it, bro. I've been dodging it.
Man, I thought I was doing good, man. They've been whooping my ass, man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right, though. Like, if you want to have a position or something, you have to put in the physical work. It's just not going to happen. I'm going to wake up one day and be like, all right, I'm ready to do this.
Yeah.
You have to put in the effort.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, you think about your upbringing with producing as well. Like, to say that for example.
Okay.
Like, you had to work to become a dope producer, bro. Like, wasn't nobody just... oh, I'm SO, I got beats. Like somebody was going to rap on your beats.
Right.
You had to continually, you know, like work on it.
Right.
And work on your craft each day. Like I said, sometimes with us as parents, we'll go give kids extra shoes and different things like that and reward them from getting A's and B's and stuff like that. So then, like, they expect to get rewarded for A's and B's. And then you have to kind of switch that narrative and be like, that's a reflection of you. If you're not doing well and performing well in school.
Right.
That's you. That look bad on you. True. You look stupid.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't got nothing do with me buying you some shoes or buying you the new Madden or whatever the case is. You know, and that's kind of what it is. It's like these kids expect something without, like, the hard work. Or if they do some hard work, they expect to be compensated instead of just being happy with doing some hard work and it being done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want, a physical reward at all times. So it's kind of trying to break down, you know, that thing that, you know, for these kids to understand that everything you want in life, you got to go work for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because you show up doesn't mean that's you're going to get an award for showing up. You know, you got to really go work for it. And if you want something bad enough, you got to go take it.
They get out of it what they put in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
do you think that we hinder? Well, I'm not no parent, so I don't even say. Do you think a lot of parents hinder their kids because they try to give them everything that they didn't have growing up? And that kind of spoils the kid to a certain degree?
I could say yes and no. Mm-hmm. It can be because me growing up, because me and my wife, I think we go through it because I don't feel like there wasn't nothing I didn't get
right
while I was growing up. You know, I was the only boy, so any Jordans that came out, I got. Mm-hmm. You know, my family went on a lot of trips and different things like that. And then growing up, my wife, just some transparency, like, you know, she grew up, you know, all her sisters and stuff, but she started working when she was like 13.
Yeah.
You know, and that's crazy. Like, I'm sitting here like, I didn't have to work when I was 16.
Right.
I just worked because I wanted to buy my own clothes. I wanted to have my own because, like, I wanted to get out of my mom's budget, you know, and just go get my own. So she grew up different, working, you know, budgeting, barely having to, when our kids get it, like, when... our oldest, like Malaysian, when she was born, like it was that way. Any new Jordan needed, we had got to that point where it was just too excessive.
Yeah,
because we had to step back and say, man, what are we doing? Because these kids don't have any wants and stuff like that. There's certain, and I can say there's certain generational curses you should want to break.
Yeah.
You know, within the family. But then sometimes I think as parents, like, we do overcompensate. Because that'd be the excuse that I hear a lot of people saying, well, mm-hmm. I didn't have it when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. I want to give my child the childhood I didn't have. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, you had a childhood.
So right.
Yeah, I know you probably wanted it to be a certain way, but that's from a child's standpoint.
Right.
You know, the viewpoint, you know, because I'm pretty sure you probably wanted to do a lot as a child, right?
Yeah.
You know, and your mom was like, nah, you know, yeah. Like, you gotta chill. Now you can understand as an adult, like, I can understand why mom said no.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes you gotta pace yourself. Like, you just can't give them everything all at once. You have to put them in a position where they have to work and earn it, because there's a bigger appreciation when they work and earn it as opposed to just giving it to them, because the parents trying to compensate for what they didn't have growing up.
Right.
And I think a lot of times when that kid gets things like that, and then when they grow up, I think it shows in the workplace.
Right.
You see a lot of young adults, they don't have their way, they throw temper tantrum, they don't have a lot of mental capacity to withstand, like, adversity. You know, when your manager tells you no, your boss tell you to do this, then, you know, you kind of see, like, it's showing now. And I think right. a lot of those kids that grew up like that is making the workplace difficult, because you have to be a certain way towards them, and they can't handle, you know, stern talking to's, or
right.
you know, if there's an issue, you have to, like, address it to them in a certain way so they don't get their feelings hurt.
Right. No, it's crazy. And like you said, and mm-hmm. it's dope right now, because your perspective on everything is, like, it's crazy, because, like, my daughter yesterday, she had an incident. Well, I think it was Friday.
Mm-hmm.
She had an incident where she was, you know, the boss, you know, allegedly called her into work.
Oh.
Uh-huh. They scheduled her to work.
Yeah.
And she had already worked it out with the other manager that she was off, mm-hmm. you know, and they had already scheduled her.
Mm-hmm.
So when she hit her, like, hey, are you coming in? Like, the manager being real sarcastic, are you okay? You coming in at 12:15? Mm-hmm. She hit me, like, and they talking about discipline her. And yeah. So when she think of discipline, she's thinking of, like, something like getting reprimanded by her parents. Like, I'm like, yeah. nah, it'd just be like a write-up or something like that. But mm-hmm. I had to tell her, like, relax.
Right.
Before you trip out and cuss out and do all, like, be calm.
Mm-hmm.
Take your time,
mm-hmm.
because I've been in this situation before where I know I've been right,
yep.
but I still went too far because that was management.
Yeah.
You know, that's still management. Uh-huh. You can't, you know, everybody people, but respect the roles,
right?
Because that manager you might need that manager in the future to prove some overtime, whatever the case is.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to walk her through that situation. Then I had to, after we walked her through, she screenshot, sent it to the manager, showed it. Then the other manager called the other manager, got it cleared up,
mm-hmm.
and then hit her back like, hey, I'm sorry. You
That's
know,
dope.
Yeah, you know, like, yeah. hey, I'm sorry. Yeah. You know, it was the wrong person. You know, have a great day, love. And that's the manager talking to my daughter. And I said, see,
mm-hmm.
just because if you go off the deep end, the first time, they're going to be like you said, yeah. I can't approach her
yep.
this way. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the, and like you said, that's kind of the thing. Like, I don't know, you see those situations like, the sassy trucker and all these different things, man. And mm-hmm. like, I don't want that type of stigma put on my daughter.
Right.
You know, because if she has an opinion or she's, you know, she's educated or she's mm-hmm. financially independent, like, people want to put a label on her, you know, mm-hmm. and I keep telling my daughter, like, that's not it.
Right.
Because hearing how you're talking, because like you said, you don't have any kids yet.
Right.
And just seeing you, but like you said, you come from a single, you know,
yeah.
single, you know, family, mm-hmm. you know, just you.
Mm-hmm.
And then just seeing where you're at, you mm-hmm. know, as a man, you know, in your 40s, it mm-hmm. still gives me like, okay, well, that is right. You know, what you just said is right,
yeah.
because we gotta teach them that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't, then they're going out into the workplace polluted.
And the moment you say something wrong, you know, they just go all off of the deep end.
Where do you think that started at, though?
I think it's somewhere, I think, the millennial, this is my theory, views of the show is just me. I think somewhere in the millennial, in our millennial generation, I think we just so used to getting everything our way, get told yes and get everything that we want. The mm-hmm. moment that we're told no, there's a certain level of resistance that's built up. And then we don't know how to take those no's and those rejections. So when we don't have things going our way, when somebody tells us like the opposite of what we want, I think a lot of people get in their feelings about it, and then they start acting off of emotions. And, you know, once you start acting off of emotions, 9 times out of 10 is never a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So just everybody becomes more emotionally affected by it and just get offended easily.
Right.
You know.
Child. So you think a lot of this is just childhood trauma?
I think
it's what we like to, like, is what society likes to call it.
I think it's a little bit of childhood drama and just people upbringings. Like, I just had my grandparents. Like I said, I was blessed to live with my grandparents. So a lot of, you know, they were born in the 20s, so 1920s. So living with them, I have been taught like to have like a little bit more tough skin because old people going to tell you to you like it is.
Right.
So then when I moved with my mom out here, she kind of gave me everything I wanted. So I seen the duality of both sides. So it was okay. A little bit less structured with my mom, but it was super structured with my parents, with my grandparents.
Okay.
So I think because of that, I have like an equal balance on everything. But had I stayed out here with my mom and got everything I wanted, I probably would have been one of those little sport kids that everything has to go my way. If it don't go my way, then I'm not doing it, not being a team player and all that shit.
Yeah. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Because I know that, and I guess that's what they say is those old school values. You know? And that's kind of old school principles that we lost today. Because I think we losing a lot of them today because we be having a lot of these conversations. Like, our generation still want to turn up.
Yeah.
Like, they still want to do the brunches. And it ain't nothing wrong with taking care of business and brunching. But it's like social media. It makes everybody that wanted to be a star or something like that, it gives them that direct access.
We see it. People we grew up with, they kind of change. And over social media, kind of throws a different perception of who they are. But, you know, you see it. You just got to – I chalk up social media like the cafeteria in high school. You go to cafeteria, you got the people that shoot dice over here. You got the athletes over here. You got the people at the roaster session over here. You got the cool kids over here. It's just a conglomerate of everything. So I just always looked at social media like it's just the school cafeteria, what you want to see and what you want to do. But when I leave the cafeteria, I still got to bust these books in these class.
I
still got real life to deal with.
Right.
But I think a lot of people take the social media as real life and don't realize that that's just on the phone.
Yeah.
And I'd be damned if anything with a power button going to dictate how I live my life. So I could power this shit off and just be cool.
Yeah. But it's hard, though. Because, you know, when I was going through, and I'm still doing self-development, you know, because it's funny every Sunday when you get that screen time thing, you be like, oh, it went up.
Yeah.
Like, what was I doing this week?
Yep.
And you kind of like rewind back and say, oh, yeah, this popped up. But, social media can be, very distracting in life, man, because I know, and I'm at that point now where I'm getting to that point where to do one of those, like, 21-day, like,
no social media.
Yeah, no social media joints. Just to get down to business, bro, and get focused, man, and get, you know, back discipline on what the goals are and reaching those, you know, because at the end of the day, I think that's kind of what keeps me going every day is getting up and just saying, like, all right, man, what's my goals for today? And now I'm starting to get a little bit better to plan it the night before.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I'm going to do 10 cold calls, you know, as far as my real estate clients, I'm going to do this, I got to get this done, and just check them off.
Right.
And then that way I feel accomplished because, you know, by doing that, because about a couple months ago, you know, like I said, because with the real estate, it's like up and down.
Yeah.
You know, so a couple months ago, it was on fire. I'm talking to like 6 to 7 clients working all, you know, on buying.
Yeah.
And then we out in the market, we're all out shopping, we're all putting in offers, all the offers are getting outbid, declined. Now all of those are turning over to rental properties. So for me, it went from, you know, potential couple thousand to a couple hundred, you know, so it's kind of like that. I had hit that wall like, damn, man, I've been grinding for this, you know, and then so I stopped doing it for like 2 weeks, bro. I was like, man, I'm cool, bro. Like I was been doing all of this for this particular bad, you know, payday.
Yeah.
But then it just, you know, the lesson was like, you just got to keep going, bro.
Got to have perseverance.
Yeah, you got to keep going, bro, because I got back on it this week, start making my calls again, texting people, doing that. Now, you know, 3 or 4 clients just hit me back like, hey, you know, I'm ready. And that's how it is. That's what I'm learning because it's just like you know, you have expectations. Like we've been saying, like we've been big on this word of expectations. And then like when it doesn't go your way,
how do you handle it?
And at that particular time, I was just like, man, fuck it, bro. I gotta take a step back because it's some bullshit.
Yeah.
It's some bull. I've been putting all this work in and I didn't get the result I was looking for. But then again, that's why I said sometimes you gotta just take that step back and then say, okay, let me get back on it. So, you know, another thing that had actually motivated me to this past week was a Jeezy book.
Yeah, you bought it?
Yeah, I got it on Audible, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so, man, great, great, Great insight, bro. Great.
Once he said the statute of limitations of it, he want to talk about some shit. I was like, I'm sold.
It's great, great book, man. Very motivational because it gives you an insight because he really didn't want to be a rapper, bro. So it makes sense. Like when I see him with his wife,
yeah,
he was his pops was stationed over there in like Japan, Japan or something like that, or Asian. Forgive me, I don't want to say the wrong thing, offend nobody, but he was over there stationed over there for I guess a couple years or something like that. Mm-hmm. So he was in that culture. So to see him with his wife, like, okay, that makes sense.
Because, yeah, military kid.
Yeah, because you was around that, then hearing how his mom was. So if you're around, because that's kind of how it is, man. Because we talk about this all the time with marriage. You know, when you get married, you find a lot of the qualities and characteristics of your mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what you find in your wife. And that's what, well, for me, I don't want to speak for you. That was me.
Yeah.
Like with my wife, I found a lot of qualities and characteristics that my mom had displayed that I fell in love with as a child that I seen my wife do. Cause she was it was like that nurturing and caring side that she was doing for me that was like, okay, that's my mom. That showed me like the mom in her.
Yeah.
You know, but just seeing that, I was like, damn, man. But Jeezy book it's a good book, bro.
Jeezy the only rapper that made me really think about selling dope. I know that music influenced me, but Jeezy was really had me thinking like I could do this.
Yeah.
My cousin had hit me up last week about this. You know about the five love languages?
No.
There's five different love languages, and I'm trying to find them all. Like, there's words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch.
Okay.
So, what would you say that is your love language?
I'm the physical touch guy.
Now, if you're the physical touch person, he has said this. He said a lot of times when we dating somebody, the love language that we receive from that person is probably something that we lack from our parents growing up. Because I was like, mine is acts of service and quality time. So then I thought about it. I was like, man, that's a good point because I ain't really get a lot of quality time with certain parents. So he was saying that a lot of times when we're seeking who we're dating, that love language that we're getting from that person is something that we lack growing up from our parents.
Mm-hmm. Man, I gotta ask my wife like what her love language is because I don't, you know, for me, my physical I don't know, man. I guess it is true because I didn't see my dad growing up, you know, really physically kiss and do that with my mom a lot.
I'm about to say Fannie Mae ain't give you no hugs.
No, she did. But then, like I said, you know, and one thing too was my dad worked in Tonopah for a long time. He was going 4 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
So it does make sense, bro, because that physical, you know, because I did miss that.
Yeah.
You know, just actually sitting here being honest with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always talk to my mom about that. And I tell my dad too, man, like, you know, when you were gone, like, there was a lot of learning that I missed out on.
Mm-hmm.
Because you learn love from watching other people love. Like, I, you know.
Yep.
And that's crazy that he said that. What was the, what was the five again?
It was the five love languages was words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch.
Okay. Man, that's deep. That's deep. You know what's so crazy? This week I had watched, what's the name of this movie? It's like a Christian movie by the name of, Fireproof, I think is the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just crazy. They had this thing about like a 40 days of love type of thing. I'm going to have to send it to you. It was crazy. I had like a 40 days, like a calendar. Where they did every day you're doing something positive towards like your wife, you know, and just like whether it's like you said, just doing something, a random act of kindness, like you know, whatever it is, like something that she normally does, or you know, just go out your way to tell her you love her. And it was just like crazy because those are like when you read those type of books, it exposes you to, you know, a new way to love your wife, you know, and sometimes I feel like we be so stubborn and our ego, like we don't want to learn, like you said, learn another love language.
Yep.
because mine is physical. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I get frustrated with my wife when I, you know, we can't be physical, right, as far as just kissing, however I want to be physical with her. You see what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm, I get frustrated sometimes, but then I get her love language is more, I think, positive affirmations, mm-hmm, you know, because the words, you know, because I see with her.
Did she get that growing up?
No. You see what I'm saying?
That's dope.
No,
yeah.
No, that's why I said for me, I think it's positive affirmation, uh-huh, because I know she try to speak a lot of positivity, mm-hmm, into our kids. But then sometimes I know she's frustrated because she don't know how to communicate it because it hasn't been given to her like that.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So now, like, you figure it out. And that's what's so crazy is seeing it, because now it's like, okay, I got to be more positive.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be more positive and pour more water, like, positivity into her cup so she, mm-hmm, can get, you know, like you said, what she was missing out of. And then in return, she'll give me the physical touch, you know, that I want to have, you know.
Equal exchange.
Yeah, but now, like I said, but that's the positive affirmation part of it, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's great, man, because I think that's big, man. If you learn, because my mom said this morning, we were just talking. She was just like, you got to learn how to love your significant other every day.
Yeah.
Every day. Mm-hmm. You can't, you know, you can build off of the deposits and currency you have, but sometimes there will be withdrawals out of that joint. Mm-hmm. And that's the, you know, I'm looking at, like, can you keep making those deposits, you know, mm-hmm, daily to try to overcompensate? So when something big happens,
mm-hmm,
you know, a big withdrawal happens, you're like, all right, we still good, we still covered, you know, and that goes to and it was crazy. I on the way here, I was thinking of additional topics,
mm-hmm,
and I was just scrolling, and I'm just going through and because we were talking about you know, what allegedly happened with Steve Harvey and his wife. That was big. Cause, like, and then even with earlier this week on your post, I was gonna say something on your post.
Which post? You know, I'm posting random shit.
I was gonna say something, but I was like, I'd rather wait till we get here. The Halle Berry joint, because you. It was real crazy, mm-hmm, because I was just like, and I just kept every comment I read was about money. It's all about money,
mm-hmm,
and I was just that, and that's what I wanted to ask you. Like, what's your view on that? You like, because like you said, not having no kid.
Yeah.
You know, not having a kid and then going to say you.
I got a lot of disposable income, more than the average person, because I don't have kids. But I think people complaints. Somebody told me years ago, and it made sense. It was like, us as a people, our problems is mostly money related. Mm-hmm. If you remove money and giving things, what is the person's problem? A lot of times out of 10, it eliminates half the problems that we have.
Right.
But it's all go back to money. So with Holly paying child support, I'm like, cool, it makes sense. She's the breadwinner. She made the most money. He had the kids while she pursued her dreams and her passions.
Right.
I didn't see no problem with it. But you saw in the comment section all the women like, he ain't no real man because he got to pay child support. And why should he do this? Like, why is it boils down to money? So now the roles is reversed. Now it's an issue. But if it's equal opportunity and everybody want fair equal opportunity, you got to let this you know, some go slip through the cracks.
Right.
I didn't see no problem with Mary J. Pinch spousal support to a certain degree, probably not as much, but he did manage her, and he had to put a lot of things that he had to do on hold for her. Granted, he was probably the sleazeball, cheating or whatever, but it's part of the game. It's a gamble.
I mean, because I'm looking at and you just said a couple had popped in my head, they had just went away. Because when you said, man, it got slipped through the cracks. What's the name of that couple?
Holly Berry.
Oh no! I don't know if this meme is true.
Yeah,
but the Janet Jackson and her husband. Because I seen all the comments on that one, and I seen like people a win for Janet because she married a billionaire, and the prenup says she had to get a kid, and it's like it's crazy.
What's the difference?
It's crazy, mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, like, when she did it, now everybody like, oh, but like when the shoe's on the other foot, mm-hmm. like, because when I seen Steve Harvey, I was just like, man, that's crazy. Steve. Just to hear about it.
I hope it ain't true.
I hope and pray it ain't true. Because, I mean, the principles that he stand on, it's crazy if your wife do that with the principles that you standing on.
Man, you can't win.
Yeah, it's just like, damn, man. Because that's, to me, that's heartbreaking, bro. Like, I get it. Like, mm-hmm. you know, just to see it. Because you I don't know, because remember, last week we was talking about yep. couples who got it right.
Yo,
you know, but then again, it's just like, man, it started making you question everything
mm-hmm.
when you walk into, because now is you really looking at it, like I said, I think that's why I was telling, like, a couple weeks ago, I said there's levels to this marriage stuff,
mm-hmm.
because we ain't all on the same level.
That's true.
We all on a level of falling in love, right. And we get married for what we think marriage is, you know, like the idea of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
The millionaires and billionaires, it's a business.
I think it's business with us too in our tax bracket, but I think we don't look at it as business.
We don't look at it as business.
We look at it as the whole love and feeling.
After we see, I think it becomes business. Either when y'all start getting y'all stuff together and you're in the light click on, or stuff start going wrong. Because then you start trying to divide the assets. Because now you start understanding, well, this is mine. I'm going to work for my check. And that was some of the things I was looking at too. So they were saying some of the five, you know, highest, five top reasons for divorce, infidelity and cheating.
Money.
Financial issues.
Finance.
All right, that's two. So then give me what you think.
I would think finance is number one. Infidelity, I would think, would be number three. Mm-hmm. Maybe like disability or something. Like somebody might get sick and then that leads to other things.
Okay.
Just growing out of love. Just like people grow into love, I think people can grow out of love. And I don't know what that fifth one might be.
All right. Why don't I just name the fifth one you think? Just any one.
That goes under infidelity. I would say just lack of ambition or something to that degree.
Like yeah.
Somebody probably had no goals and just get stuck in a rut.
Right. So now, when you were seeing giving off your five,
yeah,
you had put some more on my list that I never even thought of, mm-hmm. like you said. So number five is, you know, irreconcilable differences.
See, that's a broad statement
because
anybody can get divorced under that.
Yeah, you know, like you said, growing apart over time, like you guys said, just, mm-hmm. you know, hey, we just grew apart. Number four, constant arguing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that could be disputes, you know, just anything, you mm-hmm. know, just we always disagreeing. Number three, lack of communication.
Yeah.
So, and they all tie in. You see how they all tie into each other?
Yep.
They all tie into each other. Number two is financial issues.
Number two is financial?
Number two is financial issues.
Number one would be financial.
So number two would be financial issues. Number one is infidelity and cheating.
And there's levels to, I think it's levels to both of that. I think the financial issues is the spending. Some people have an addiction to spending, what I always say.
Yeah.
You got an addiction to spending money. You just
right.
addicted to spending money. So if people ain't on the same accord and looking at it as a business, that's bad business.
Right.
That's why I kind of don't like the notion of partner. I married my partner. Words matter. Like if that's your wife, that's your wife. If that's right. your husband, that's your husband. Say that. I have business partners. I don't have business wives.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like slowly but surely we kind of break down the importance of marriage and family. We keep saying we're partners. No, that's my wife.
Right.
I'm her husband. Keep it like that.
And that's why I think, and I'm happy mm-hmm. you said it like that, because mm-hmm. I ran into Marshawn, you know, yesterday. Shout out to Marshawn Taylor. You know,
shout
out to my brother. Not to say your whole government.
Right,
but,
I got
to make sure they know which one I'm talking about.
Okay.
I ran into him. We had a conversation. I said, like I said, I know we had this conversation a couple episodes ago about accounts, like mm-hmm. bank accounts. You said you have yours separate,
mm-hmm.
and then me and my wife had ours joint.
Mm-hmm.
So I just gave him my opinion on where I was at and what me and my wife do. And, you know, shout out to my brother Wes. He was right there by me.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was like, well, you know, I got me and a wife, you know, same, you know, similar. Gave his opinion of what him and his wife do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just looking at that, man, and we were talking about it, and it's just, you know, giving him that insight, man, because I think we got to get to that point where you got to invest within the marriage, in her, like mm-hmm. you said. So with your wife, you know, like I remember you saying, like y'all been talking about building her own nail salon, or, you know, doing her own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with my wife, because it's like, you know, I got to make sure you good, regardless of the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right here beside me right now.
Yep.
Like you said, you're my wife at this particular moment, and mm-hmm. I got to make sure you're good, because then me and my wife got kids.
Right.
So, like, and that's why I told him, I said, sometimes it gets deeper than just the layer of it, mm-hmm. because whatever me and my wife build right now,
mm-hmm.
we got it. She got to, if I, you know, die before her, she got to be able to maintain that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? My kids, you know, they got to be educated enough to say, okay, let's expand off of what dad had created.
Right.
You know, and it's the same thing with my wife. So mm-hmm. I just want her legacy to be more than what just, you know, kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, we got different stuff that we're actually living for and trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, so but you know, you just never know how it goes, man. Cause I was just looking at that too, looking at these experiences that some of these people have, like you're saying, seeing that financial issues is number two.
Yeah.
But then seeing that.
So my parents got divorced.
Oh.
It was money.
Okay.
Man, my mom, my dad was working full-time, part-time, and hustling on the side. It was never enough. And this is back in the 80s. Mortgage was like under $400. He got a house with his VA, all that. She was doing real estate.
Okay.
So some months she'll sell a house. She'll go in that drop where she don't sell nothing. So when she don't sell nothing, he had to cover the expenses. She like, well, I need this, 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 this. He like, well, I'm shelling out money. I'm doing everything. Where your money at? So there was just a disagreement with money.
Right.
Then she transitioned and said he ain't had no goals and ambitions. He ain't want nothing. He looking at it like, well, I'm busting my back working two jobs, stealing on the side and hustling part-time, and that ain't enough. What more do you want? You need to find you a rich man. She was like, maybe I did. Boom. She bumped out, moved out here where my aunt was stationed at Nellis. Moved out here with my aunt, and that's how she wound up here.
Okay.
Then he divorced her, won custody over me and all that. So it was really money.
Right.
And then what she said about him, over time, I started seeing her point of view, and over time, I started seeing his point of view.
Yeah.
Because when I was living out here, and my mom was going through it, it was the same thing. I need this, 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 this. But she couldn't. She was a loan officer then, wasn't doing no loans. When she ain't had the money for rent, she had to come to me. So I had to pay my rent and her rent.
Right.
So then, you know, every other month I'm doing that. It's stretching me out. I can't get ahead because it's a financial thing. But it's always that gimme, 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 gimme. Then when she get her money, she playing catch up.
Right.
So I could see how even with that dynamic in the marriage, it could go that way. One of the things I've seen older people do it where the man would give his wife the entire paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking that's crazy. Like, ain't no way I could see myself doing that. But I think the science to that is, if the husband give a wife his whole paycheck, she now knows what's in the house, so she can allocate how much she's asking for. Because if you keep her in the dark, well, I need this, this, and this. If he says he don't have it, she's going to try to figure out why he don't have it. But I think it's the comfort level of she sees, oh, this is the money that we have to work with. I think that gives her like a level of peace and understanding on with, okay, we can do this or we can't do this because I see this.
Yeah,
because, maybe. You know, we grow up, man, I give her my old check. What I look like? I no simp nigga like that, you know? But I think it makes sense for her level of peace and that understanding. I think that's an old school value, I think, over time.
Right.
You got to have a hell of a level of trust with who you with to do that. But I think it works out.
Right.
Because my grandparents didn't have a lot of money, and they raised four kids. And to the day, we all don't know how they made it.
Right. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Because I was, like I said, because I know just... Cause I know as we go deeper, Pauls, into these conversations and stuff like that, I know we're building behind the scenes to get these topics together to do more talking and educating other husbands out there and stuff. So, and that was one of the things that I was looking at too. So I know
you said Marshawn asked you something.
Yeah, about it was just about combining you know, income. Because I asked him how marriage was, you know, because
he just got married,
and he was like, you know. The honeymoon stage, you know, and that's why I say, hey, man, you know, once you get past that, man, but I say, hey, you got to start working on investing and building with your wife because I say, hey, that's your wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to get to that point where, you know, we get out of this, you know, if you're going to be the head of the household, you're going to do X, Y, and Z, let's start moving as such.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to put your woman in that position to where she's living out her purpose.
Right.
You know, and she's financially free that where there's no real dependence on you,
right?
Because that's what life insurance is for, all these different things. But allow her to bring her share to the table, you know. So, but we was talking, and that's what I was looking at, some of the pros and cons of combining income, combining joint, like having one joint account and then having separate. So, like you and your wife have separate accounts. So, what do you think? What do you think the number one would be for the pros for just give me three.
The pros for what having a joint bank account?
Pros
of having separate?
Separate. So give me your top five reasons for having a separate bank account.
I would think because whatever you make is what you make. So whatever you make is what you spend.
Right.
Whatever I make is what I make. Whatever I spend, I spend. Now, if you're in a situation where you ain't cutting it, you ain't having enough money for something, then you can come to me and then I can give you that.
Okay.
You know, my OG told me, man, never let them know how much you really have, because if you got 10,000, they're gonna find they need 9,000 of the 10. So right, if you got right. 10, say you got 6.
Right.
And then they're gonna try to get the whole 6, not knowing you got another 4 tucked away. Like he said, never let them know the whole amount of what you holding on, because they'll find some way to spend. They can find 1,000 ways to spend your money.
Okay, so you say your money's your money.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's number 2?
As far as having separate accounts?
Yeah.
Like
the pros.
The pros of having separate accounts is that. Mm-hmm. That's one. The second would be just a little bit of independence. I mean,
okay. I give you that one. So that's 2. That's 2.
The 3, probably the tax benefits, so to speak. If I got direct deposit, I don't know. I can't think of 5. Besides after those first 2. I mean, what else do I need?
All right, so
some people bad with money. So, all right,
so
I'm the one that's worse with money. So out of our family, she way better with money than me. So
I'm gonna give you that one. Pause.
Okay.
As at number 4, because that's on here. So all right, I'm gonna run off the 5.
Mm-hmm.
Financial independence, like you said, like you know. So uh-huh. Hey, I make what I make.
Yep.
My money's my money. Different spending habits is number 2. Like
right.
You said, hey, we have, you know.
Bad with money.
Yeah, because they said if one partner is a spender and the other is a saver,
mm-hmm.
split accounts can help keep the peace,
yep.
allowing different money management
keep
styles.
Keep the peace.
So now, another one in pro, it said it removes some conflicts. Not all of them, some conflicts.
It does.
It said financial disagreements are a significant source of marital discord.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, that part,
mm-hmm.
Protection from financial vulnerability. So that was number 4.
Yeah. So if I know it's there, then I'm fine reasons. You know what I mean? I throw all that shit on the blackjack table. And
But not only that, it's just you having an understanding to keep the money saved to where they can't, you know, like they said, because mm-hmm. they said in case of a relationship breakdown, having separate bank accounts can provide a certain degree of financial security and make it easier to separate assets. That's what they said. So now number 5, easier tracking of expenses. So like you said, I know my spending.
Yeah.
I got this over here. I'm buying my Jordans on this credit card. Yeah. Like, it's easy to track your spending. So what do you think some of the cons are?
I think the cons is the level of trust, the level of unknowing. You don't know what the other person have. And you start, your mind get the wondering, well, I got to pay this and pay this. Every time you go out, I'm paying for this. What you holding on your end? You don't know that.
Right.
So I think that could create an issue. Outside of that, I don't even see the cons.
All right, so 5 cons, right? Uh-huh. So number 5 is lack of immediate access. So like you said, in the event that, say, you out of
something
town,
something
happened, you can't, you know, you got to transfer it to her or whatever the case
it's
is.
It's not immediate.
You know,
I'm
like, it ain't just like she can just go get it and it's right there.
Okay.
It can complicate shared expenses. So paying shared bills or shared expenses can be complicated and require more planning and communication. If you're bringing in more money,
mm-hmm.
like you said, so mm-hmm. I don't know how y'all break y'all bills down.
Yeah.
But to say you bringing in a lion's share of the money, but you having her go half on the rent and you know she only making X amount of dollars.
Right.
It's like the Gabrielle Union situation.
Yeah.
that's what it kind of, because everything's separate.
Mm-hmm.
And what is she saying? What was she essentially saying on TV?
She was saying she didn't feel right having him paying everything, because I think that gave her a sense of control. I think she, if she let him pay everything and she didn't pay nothing, she feel like he controls her, because it boils back to money.
What I heard is, I got to maintain this in a household that we got together. You already made $500, $300, $600 million.
Right.
I haven't made that in my career.
Right.
We had 2 different, you know, financial. You should be taking care of everything and doing this, that, and the third. Plus my house. Not that's what she's saying. Like, take care of my household, too. But
see, she said 2 conflicting things at 2 different times. Because remember, she said the first dude she had, they broke up because she was paying for everything. She didn't respect him because he wasn't paying the bills.
Mm.
So now she got a dude that can pay all the bills. She don't want him to pay the bills because she don't want to give up that leverage and that control.
Or do you think she want him to pay all the bills because he can't?
I think she don't want him to pay up all the bills.
I think she do. I think she wants to help, because you just don't go out there and say, like, you know, because she don't movie money and athlete money is totally different.
And I think they had a point too, and I don't want to count people's pockets. Babe, don't worry about it. I got all the bills. Whatever you make, that's what you make. You do that. Don't worry about these. I got us all covered. Whatever money you make, that's your money. I don't want none of it. She's like, nah, I need to pay something because I don't want you to have that control and that leverage over me.
I looked at it like that. Okay. Well, because, you know, for me, I looked at it more or less like she was saying, like, hey, I need some help because these movies are far in between.
Right.
You know, hey, you know, so that was what, you know, complicated shared expenses, mm-hmm. Less financial transparency. So separate finances can lead to less transparency, can potentially hide financial problems. You know, because like that's you said, true. if you never know, if they always walking around like it's cool, but you just never know. It can be like, yo, what you?
But every couple months, you got to ask them questions like, yo, this is this, or this costs this, or this credit card bill is this. Like, what you holding on, or what I'm holding on.
Right.
And to talk about my finances, but we use a lot of credit cards, but I stack cash. So worst case scenario, I could dump all the cash and wipe all the credit cards clean.
Right.
So it's all about having liquidity. I just got more access to cash, and I just use the credit card more to get the points up, to get the balance up, and to get my credit score up.
Right.
So I lean on that, but you know, I'm still a hood nigga, so my shit get high too much, I get nervous a little bit.
Right.
Not knowing that I got the cash, I can wipe it out and make it zero, but I've got to play the leverage game. It's all leveraging credit.
Right. That makes sense. You know, but I mean, when you talk about your finances and stuff, I mean, that's something that people got to learn how to do. Cause I think we come from a society of, blacks, and I don't want to speak for you. I'm a black man. So I just got to speak from where my eyes are. So,
I got PTSD of being broke.
A lot of our habits, come from, just not knowing what to do. We get cash. Mm-hmm. We were always sold.
Cash is king. That's drilled in our DNA.
Yeah, cash is king.
And as you learn, people leverage credit. That's true. How the rich do. They stay rich. They leverage credit, and then they keep their cash.
True. And that's what I've been learning, and that's what I've been trying to, you know, educate a lot of these people too when they go into buying houses. Because, it's, like I said, it's not about a commission check to me. Because if you're going into this, understand that this is an investment.
Mm-hmm.
And you got 30 years to pay this off. But in that 30 years, understand that there's a commitment of a certain, you know, that interest rate, you know, that you're paying. You know, you got to pay
that interest rate is a motherfucker. Man, we've been looking at the wrong numbers. We're supposed to look at the percentage on the interest rates.
And that's the part. But then if you have a plan and you be aggressive with how you approach it, you know what I'm saying? And say, all right, let me get a 15-year instead of a 30. Yeah, it might cost me an extra $300 a month, but then that's when that sacrifice comes in on the back end. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, well, maybe I won't go out to this club because now there's $300 somewhere you can sacrifice, or credit card that I can go get to help with that expense, so I can get the cash for for that extra over there, to pay for my house, because this is an investment. In 15 years, I can have this paid off.
Right, but do you really want to pay the house off? Because another theory I heard was you always keep the balance low, so you never own the house. Because if you own the house and somebody sue you, they could take your house. So even if you get it down like the last $5,000 or $6,000, always take money out, keep it in the account, and then just pay it.
Well, there's multiple ways, man. I was working with an investor. He bought a house all cash, and then he went back and
took some out
to borrow money against that part. So, and I was like, what was the point? But, you know, he don't own it, technically. But now he don't own it. But like you also said, but now he's also building his credit, because you got
collateral.
Yeah. He's paying yourself back, too.
Yeah.
You know, that's all that you're doing. Really paying yourself back. Because, the money that he got.
My grandparents do that. Yeah. My grandmother died. She had like a $5,000 balance on the house. I'm like, why? Because if they get low and low, she'll just pull money out and just pay the notes.
Yeah, there's a lot of different strategies about it, because, if you're in the right position and you got 20%, your first house can be a rental property for you.
That part.
You know, but there's a lot that comes with that. You know, there's a lot of financial respect, because now you're the landlord.
Yep.
And anything that pops up, you got to take care of the AC breaks, roof problems. You got to screen your tenants. You got to do all these things now, because you're the, but that's what a property management people, you give them something that, of course,
had them handle it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you got to be in a position to be You part. See what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you got to be in a position to get to that.
It's a stepping process.
Yeah, it's a step process. And that's what a lot of us be trying to skip the steps because we want to boss up so fast. Yep. And it's like, okay, let me get my business affairs in order. Because mm-hmm. just hearing how you operate, that's how I've been operating. Me and a wife been operating for the last couple years. It's just off of the credit cards, paying them down, doing this, doing that. And it's now, even now, just trying to, I'm telling the wife, like, hey, we just got to go ahead and, you know, do that and save the cash. Because, you know, like you said, because...
It's liquid. If I can get to it, I can get to it. And that's something that I say the last 3 years, I kind of been doing a lot more. Since we got the house, like, use my credit card, save the cash. Use the credit card, save the cash. Pay the credit card down. Use the credit card, save the cash. It's all high access, quick access to liquidity.
Right.
I don't have to touch my house to pull money out of it. I don't have to do too much. If I need some, I need some. And then pay attention to the interest rates. I think financially, we would just raise cash is king, cash is king, cash is king.
Right.
You know, transactions. Once it's done with it. But you need that credit history. That makes a huge difference.
Nah, for real. Nah, it makes sense. Because like I said, just and these are the things that we really be sitting down mm-hmm. and really be like, you know, trying to figure out what's the system? How do we get ahead? Like mm-hmm. what's... Because, like, you know, shout out to my Uncle Jerry when he was here.
Yeah.
He was, you know, he's been telling me, teach me, you know, financial literacy.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, 50% of your check should pay your bills.
30%. That's real shit.
Yeah, 30% mm-hmm. of your, you know, 30% of what you make, that's your leisure money. You mm-hmm. should say 20% of what you, and he been telling me this.
Mm-hmm.
And I be looking back at them times where, you know, I was at the test site working, making, you know,
yeah,
$98,000 and looking back like, man.
He's cutting it close.
Man. But I'm just thinking that mm-hmm. if I'm saving 20% each time that I'm up there, at that time when I walked away from Tonopah, I think in 5 years, I had almost made $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you see what I'm saying?
I get them social security statement to show how much I made every year since I've been working, mm-hmm. and I be adding it up. Bro, I'd be sick to my stomach.
Just imagine saving 20%.
I'd be sick. Like, all that money that went through my hands, where the hell did it go?
Yeah, yeah. Because I'd be, you know, talking to my dad, and I said, man, do you understand, like, we've really earned over $1 million, and mm-hmm. you can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that we can physically touch mm-hmm. it if you don't have a house or something.
Really make
something.
You sick.
Yeah, something that'll make you be aware.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I think these type of conversations will start having our generation of parents wake up because, like I said, our parents, I don't, you know, they out the way, you know, because they, you know, rest in peace to, you know, to marry, you know, moms. But my mom, them out the way. They retired.
Yeah.
So they, you see what I'm saying? Like that's it. Mm-hmm. Like this, we're the next up.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's like it's like, I still see it. Just the irresponsibility of some of these parents, man. Like, and I was still, you know, talking to my mom and just as a culture, like where are the goals at? Cause some people get on Section 8 housing and different things. Mm-hmm. And there's no disrespect to some people that need it for assistance, but it's like, when are we going to have a goal to get off? You see what I'm saying?
Some don't have that. I got family members, they five generations on Section 8.
Yeah.
Like, I counted. It was five generations of just project living, and they don't know nothing else. That's all they know.
Yeah.
They have just as much as Jordans as me, same everything, kids and everything. Grandmother, she a grandmother, we the same age. She got like three grandkids.
Generations in on it.
So that's all they know. That's all they're going to do.
That's crazy. That they don't know no better.
Because like
I said, you just know to know people that consistently just don't want to do better.
I think people need to see it to know that it's obtainable. And I think a lot of times when people get money, they drift away from the people that don't got money. So the people that don't got money don't see how they got to that point. So it creates a gap and a disconnect because people with money try to separate themselves, I think, from broke folks. So then if I'm broke and I'm trying to get it, I ain't around people that's getting it. They're showing me the steps on how to get it. And it's just, all I know is what I know. I'm going to keep doing the same separation.
True. Well, man,
it's a crazy game.
Hey, what's so crazy about it? I'm laughing because we seen how black people act, man, when they get money with the PPP.
Man, you know what I always be telling you? Don't let me hit the lottery. I'm all you joking. Like, I'm about a whole new set of friends. Ain't none of you motherfuckers going to know me. Well, I'm gone.
Man, I worked at the test site, man. You can't hide from me, man. I called you from a number that had three numbers.
You did, too. But now with the people, you know what I really want to do? I want us to know the college that Robert Johnson, not Robert, Robert Smith, the black dude that paid everybody's tuition and their student loans when they graduated college.
Yeah.
I want them to do a study on everybody who had their student loans paid off. What have they done now? Mm. And was it a factor when he paid the student loans? Was that a hindrance for them progressing in life now they don't have that student loan debt? Because we hear so many times, I can't do this. I can't get ahead because of my student loan debt. So take that group of kids. Okay, y'all ain't got no student loan debt. What have y'all done since then?
Yeah. That is, I think it's interesting when they do those studies anyway, man. Like when you just follow a person and you, if you know you're being followed, you know, and you still don't have no ambition to go do something.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But that is interesting, man. I would like to see that what that study would come back to. Because that's what I was just saying.
We always talking about debt.
Earlier. Yeah. No, but that's what I was saying earlier. It's like your kids, you're giving them something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get out of college, you know, sometimes the goal is to get out of debt. So you're trying to hustle to get out of debt, depending on the person.
Yeah.
You know, because some people just like,
some people ain't got it in them.
Yeah, some people just like, I'm going to carry this debt until I die. And that's just the... But then, like I said, you start seeing the mindset of people because when people that have a debt that want to be that don't want to have it and be debt free, they walk around different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you see them, you know, they're more financially, like you said, you know, structured.
Yeah,
financially structured. And I do see that because we do have, and this is just keeping it a buck. We got friends that you know, and that'll go be financially irresponsible.
Yeah.
And then come and hit you up like, hey, man, you can't do that.
I got somebody calling me right now. They asked for some money. I gave them $100 more than what they asked for on some cash and carry. I give you cash, carry your ass away from me. Don't ask me for no more.
Okay.
Bro, they've been blowing my phone all week on my FaceTime, on Facebook. They ain't got my real number. And I've been having the same number forever. So that's how they know me. So it's like, quit asking me for money. I'm not giving you none.
Right,
but it's like that. But that's all their system. They're stuck in that system on what they need to do to get ahead. That's all they know.
Right,
so they don't know nothing else. Well, right. I can't give you no more. I ain't got it.
Yeah, sometimes you got to cut the cord because I know it's hard. You know, to but you got to do it, man. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes conflict can happen, like you said. Because if that extra could have went over here, you taking food off my table. This, that, and the third. It's crazy, but just to see people that make these decisions, man, like, you know, everybody come up short sometimes, you know, bills unexpectedly, things happen, you know, and that's the goal, is to try to get where they say you're 3 to 4 times ahead. Like, you got 3 to 4 times saved, like whatever your reservoir is, it's saved 3 to 4 times.
Used to never understand that. For years, and
I'm trying to do it now.
I got it now. I got it and got the ball rolling, I see it now. It's easier, so I'm ahead of time.
Something happened. Yeah, because something happened. You got a 6-month gap where you can pay all your bills.
It gives so much level of relief, and I'm so at peace. I'm so happy. I ain't worried about that. Every 30 days, I got to shell out this. Every 30 days, I got to pay this. It just gives me that cushion to where I'm just saving up. Where if something do happen, the bounce back ain't that big.
Right. Right. And I said, so that's where me and my wife at. Yeah. We just financially budgeting. I wrote down everything, sit down and say, hey, this is where we need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, I've hit those points where it'll be like, damn.
We've been there.
Yeah, damn, man. Like, you gotta hit somebody up. Hey, can I borrow this? Can you know this? And it's crazy.
It's worked. I filed bankruptcy twice.
Yeah. And ain't nothing. I did once. Mm-hmm. And then it fell off, you know, not too long, about 2 years ago, it fell off. Mm-hmm. And, but after you start learning, you know, the system, everything is not, don't look bad no more.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'd be like, you know, we used to make fun of Donald Trump doing all them bankruptcies. This dude became
chapter 13, boy. Yeah. Hey, hold on. Let's regroup this. I'll pay a payment. And then once he got his money right, he got out the 13. You can go in and out of the 13. It's the 7s that killed everything.
Oh, okay.
So he was doing 13s.
So 13.
Consolidating all your debt. And then you just pay the courts one big fee.
Okay, monthly.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why you can go in and out of 13. 7 going to kill your credit on your credit for 7 years, all that.
Yeah, but that 7, you just
I did a 7 and a 13, so.
Yeah, I did 7. Mm-hmm. And then if I know what I know now, what I have done at 13, I don't know. Because it just seemed like everything was too far in front of me. Like, you know,
get overwhelmed.
Yeah, I was overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Like, I was still would have to pay rent where I was at. You know, trying to get caught up on all those bills, doctor bills. At that time, I had, like, you know, car that was in there I put in because it was just, I didn't feel like it was worth it having it, paying what I was paying. So I was like, yeah, I ain't read all of this stuff, man. Let me start over, man, because I didn't want to have that commitment to the courts, man. Because once you have a commitment to the courts, it seemed like, man, they come pick you up. You don't pay it or something, bro. So you
come
just
repoing everything.
They take everything. But no, it was seven was after we did it, going up, you know, up into that process of filing, a lot of anxiety because I just didn't know what to expect. I just didn't know what to expect. But then it was like after a month after we filed, man, you started getting credit card offers in and all that stuff.
And trying to reel
like,
you back in.
He was like, oh, okay. But nah, it was that's where I'm at now. Like I'm saying, I'm on that because me and my wife, we did it, I think, like 10 years ago, something like that. Yeah, but it just... Yeah, it's just, you know, but once it fall off, it's kind of like you have a new life now to go and get your business in order. And that's kind of where we at now, you know, with these credit cards, we're building, you know, getting. And
all that shit is predatory lending, too, because they hit us, boom, right when you hit college. You get this $500 credit card offer. You can get a credit card. I'm 18. Let me get it. Then you don't know about interest rates. They hit you with a 23% interest rate. Then you paying that, tricking off $500. Your balance go up, but it don't go up so much. And then you fall behind. You might lose the job, like. All those financial hurdles, man, we all done went through it. And I know I done went through it. My mom filed bankruptcy too, so that was another thing. She just filed chapter 13 until you get your money right, and then you can get out to the 13. If you're ready to kill it, then you go seven, you liquid, you don't own nothing, everything is gone. You start over. Okay. So I never had that fear of filing bankruptcy because she kind of guided me through it. And then in the middle of the 13, she died. So that's why I was like, well, shit, you was in the middle of my bankruptcy. And then she died. And it's like, well, I need to get out of this on my own. I can't lean on her.
Right.
And help my mama bail me out.
Right.
So once I figured that out, I started moving accordingly. And then even being with my wife, maybe being with her gave me a level of stability, you know, to understand how credit cards work. Get a credit card with a balance transfer. And it just gets too high. You can balance transfer that, no interest for a year, then pay that off, and then do it that way.
Okay.
So I kind of learned that. But I also had to, okay, well, then I can do that. And then keep my cash. So then I always got liquid on it. And I listen to a lot of Dr. Boyce Watkins, too.
Right.
So he kind of put it on a lot of things, and Claude Anderson and everybody. Like, I'm hearing all these financial advices from people that make sense. Like, everything that I was taught growing up and everything that I did, learned through trial and error.
Mm-hmm. That Claude Anderson, man. That
Claude Anderson, real, yeah.
That stuck out to me because me and my aunt talk about that all the time. Mm-hmm. And that book, I had to physically.
Black Labor, White Wealth?
Yeah, So just figuring it out, you know, just understanding like how to view wealth, you know, from different optics. Because there's sometimes, you know, you got to change your view on things in order to see yourself going somewhere. You got to say, okay, but what do they know?
And it'd be a lot of hood analogies and logic I keep.
Right.
Like, it ain't what you make, it's how you spend. Or you got to have three things, a job, a side hustle, and a chick.
Right.
You always got to have three at all times to move ahead. You'll never survive or just off of one. Two will get you just enough to do some on the weekend. Three, to get to the next level, you always got to have three moving at all times.
Sound like a pimp, man.
It was given to me from the
Sound like a
pimp. Pimps don't have jobs.
Master savers, man. They hustle
trinity.
They got to be. Because, I mean, you know, just how to.
If you do certain stuff like that, I'd be like,
ain't no retirement plan in that, so you got to put it together.
Right. No 401k for a hustler.
But no, in reality, everybody. I mean, that's how I really look at all of us, man. We all hustlers, bro. Whether you go to your job, you know, 9 to 5, you, whatever you got going on, man. You just, you know, we all independent hustlers, you know. So you got to, you know, go build up what you trying to do.
Yeah.
And that's why I was also saying back to the, you know, what we were saying earlier, man. Like, you were, you're a product of your environment, man. You know, your mom exposed you to credit and those type of things. In my household, my parent didn't.
Right.
They did cash.
Yeah.
I never heard my mom talk about credit cards or my dad talk about credit cards. It was always, hey, dad, hey, Henry, I need this. Go,
you know, pay the cash.
Let me go get the cash. And that's where my household was at. So it's what you're exposed to.
That's true.
You know, and that's kind of where I was at, man. And just seeing it, like, damn, man. It, like, when you just said it, I was like, well, that's what you was, because when you just said it, my mom exposed me to using my credit cards to do this and do this. Now me and my wife is at that point where, hey, you know, use a credit card to go pay the gas and do this, and now we'll pay it back. So then at least we're getting credit for it, you know, doing something that we normally do all the time. But like you said, to have that cash.
You got cash available on hand at all times. If I have to pull something out, then I can pay for it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's good, man. Yeah. So, man, shout out to Spence. He just tuned in to over here on the IG, man. And, man, this is a dope show. I mean, like I said, these are the kind of, you know, discussions that we'll have in the future. We're going to have our fun time still, too. But, you know, like I said, I learned a lot just on the basis of what you were.
Yeah.
You know, what you were talking about with how you run your household. That gave me some pointers of what I can possibly do in mine.
Yeah.
You know, with me and my wife. Because, you know, I wrote all our bills down.
Right.
So run all the bills down. Say, hey, let's get it together.
Right, because I'm at a point. I'm like, man, she keep complaining about paying every bill. I'm like, yo, just put it all on a automatic pay on a credit card. We just pay the credit card. So she's
that grown man.
She trying to get to that. First she was like, no, but I think she opened up to that idea now.
Auto pay is a different man.
God damn it. Auto power pay, hit you, man, boy, that $1,000 bill, boy. You'll be sick.
Hey, but man, hey, we appreciate everybody tuning in, man.
Another Where can they find you, Grease?
Hey, at Grease Balls Baby on IG, also called Grease.
All right, man, I am S to the O on Instagram and X.
Hey, also follow the Husband's Club, man, on IG, man. We ain't on X yet, man.
The Husband's Club podcast.
We'll be there, man. But hey, y'all have a blessed day, man.
All right, peace.
Yep.